My husband's a stepfather to my older two boys. The oldest son, he's a new dad, always asking for help, and I tend to want to give him that help, and my husband doesn't.
All right. Thank you, and welcome to Intentional Living. That really provokes the question, provides an opportunity for you to answer it today. And the question is, what's one thing that you need to do when you and your spouse don't agree on either if or if you do think you should, how much to help a family member? Maybe an adult son or daughter, could be a parent. They may be responsible or irresponsible. And if you don't agree, this is a marriage question, really. If you don't agree and you're struggling with that, what's one thing you need to do to come to some resolution? The phone line is open today at Intentional Living, 888-888-1717. Who's going to be first to join in our discussion? 888-888-1717. To help me build a top 10 list, I have a thought on this I'm going to give you in a moment. The top 10 list of how to be intentional when it comes to dealing with a disagreement about if and how much to help a family member, maybe short-term or long-term. Love to have you join in. 888-888-1717. I want you to hear the rest of that call from Tondra. And then we got a post as well on Facebook I want to get to, and then I want you to join in. Let's do this together. This is Intentional Living. This is the rest of the call from Tondra. Take a listen.
My husband and I, we have four children, two boys, ages 25 and 22. Our girls are 18 and soon to be 16. My husband's a stepfather to my older two boys, and we often have conflict when it comes to the oldest son. He's a new dad. He's always asking for help, and he's not really following God. He's having a hard time with work, finding and keeping a job, constantly asking for help, and I tend to want to give him that help, and my husband doesn't. He wants him to kind of do that on his own, which I believe he does need to do that on his own, but as a mom, I want to give him that help. So my husband and I do have quite a bit of conflict over that. So if you have any suggestions on a way my husband and I can kind of deal with that together, that would be wonderful.
All right. Listen, I think we all heard, though, Tondra, that kind of statement. You know, it was kind of, I kind of agree, and I kind of know that my son should be stepping up and being responsible, but I kind of want to help him. And I say that respectfully because I hear your heart. You got a mom's heart, and dad, stepdad, is kind of saying, hey, enough's enough. How do you do this? So, and at the same time, we got a post that came in on Facebook from Lisa, who's waiting for a response from me, apparently, today. And Lisa, here's what she posted. My mom lives with us 6 months out of the year. Is it right to expect her to pay us monthly? We have cared for her the past 5 years since my dad passed away, and she has freely given us $200 every month, apparently to help with expenses and so on. She is legally blind, so I run her errands and also run her finances. My husband is recently retired and was okay. He was fine with the $200 a month for the past 5 years. But now, I'm assuming, meaning now that he's retired and the income is different, he's expecting her to pay a set rent, a rent a payment, which I'm assuming means more than $200 a month, Lisa. I think that's what you mean. Needless to say, this has caused a lot of turmoil. How do you handle these? These are really practical issues. And then to kind of put one more little fly in the ointment of our discussion, this is for the family now. This is for Christians, those of us who are listening as believers. This is what Paul tells us in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, talking about what we should do, what the church should be doing to care for widows and people in need. And Paul throws this in chapter 5, verse 8. He says, if anyone... Turn up the radio. Listen, that's what he's saying. Turn up the radio. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith. That's an ouch, isn't it? I mean, that's pretty clear. And goes on to say, and is worse than an unbeliever. That's right out of Scripture. So I think it's fair to say, as Christians, we have not only the opportunity and the blessing to do it, but we have a responsibility to help family. So I think maybe the real question we're throwing out today is, how in the world do you decide when's enough enough, and how much is enough, and when are you going over the border in terms of not really helping someone, but enabling them to continue to be irresponsible? It comes down to questions of boundaries and so on. So come on in and join in with the discussion. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this. 888-888-1717 is my number. We're live here in the Intentional Living studio. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break. We'll be back. Got some calls coming in. We're going to get to you, Dave, in Missouri in a moment. Hang on. You're welcome to join us as well. Should you do it? How much should you do it? Where do you draw the limits? What have you learned? What's one thing that you'd share with others to be intentional with this today? 888-888-1717.
Intentional love can transform a marriage.
We have been able to put aside our selfishness and really put each other first, and that has really made a difference.
Natasha and her husband have experienced firsthand the power of intentional living. Put the power of intentional love to work in your marriage. The Intentional Love Marriage Date Night is November 8th and 9th in Mesa and Glendale, November 16th in Tucson. Go to theintentionallife.com.
Couples in a blended family should do this one thing. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Here it is: resolve your problems behind closed doors. Don't do it in front of the kids. But unfortunately, many immature people in second marriages want to play out their problems and their disagreements in front of the kids. And when that happens, it creates tremendous confusion and insecurity for the children. If you've got issues that need to be resolved, go where you can talk about it together, maybe with a counselor, or maybe together behind closed doors, but don't do it in front of the kids. It says in Proverbs 25:9, if you and your neighbor have a difference of opinion, settle it between yourselves and do not reveal any secrets. I think that's a great verse, not only for neighbors, but for blended families. Do that one thing, and that's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
The Intentional Living Minutes on video, and we'd love to send it to you. I'd love to see our team send it to you right to your email box every morning, Monday through Friday. You can subscribe today. Simple. Just go to theintentionallife.com/minute and subscribe. Also, you heard about the date night, Phoenix, Tucson, November 8, 9, and November 16. It's going to be an intentional love marriage date night. A lot of fun. We're going to enjoy celebrating what marriage is all about and learning some things as you laugh and smile and draw closer together. So bring some friends with you. Make it a date night experience, maybe even for your small group. That'd be great. Anyway, the information is at theintentionallife.com. Big question today. It's come up a lot. How do I help my family? Where's the limits? We're talking about the practical things of deciding what one thing can you do to really help a family member without overdoing at the same time being obedient to Scripture. I want to answer your question, Lisa, before I get to the calls. Lisa's asking, Mom is with us. She's blind. She's been with us for 5 years. She's freely giving $200 a month to help. My husband's now retired, wants her to be on a rental basis, and it's caused a lot of turmoil. My perspective is you start with your values, and if your values is we're going to help Mom no matter what, because there's a time where she may not be able to pay anything. Are you going to help Mom or not? And so to sit down with Mom and maybe come up with some amount or negotiate something that is fair to her and fair to you and also helpful because your husband has a point, you got bills to pay and so on. But I think if you start with your values, the rest of it's detail. You can plug in numbers or subtract numbers. But if you don't start with your values, what happens is then we get focused on a lot of other things and it gets to be very unintentional. So I would encourage you, Lisa, you and your husband to really start with that. What are we going to do? Let's make the assumption Mom couldn't do anything at all. Would we still help her? Start with your values and then move from there. Okay, we got people want to add to the top 10 list of things to do or not do with family members who need help, asking for help. Dave is first in Missouri. Welcome to the program, Dave.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You're going to be number one on my top 10 list. What do you want to suggest here?
Well, the what I'm responding to was the issue of helping a child, mm-hmm. and when mom and dad have two different perspectives, and it's wonderful that mom and dad or husband and wife always have difference of opinion, and that's what makes the relationship rich. And I, of course, my answer comes from the premise that the most important relationship in any home is the husband and wife, and then it flows down,
right?
And flows out, you know, as long as Christ is in the center. But I think the subject is, the matter is about motivation. Why are we helping our child? And what is our desired outcome?
Mm-hmm.
And are we preparing our little boy or girl to handle that problem better the next time?
Right.
But to me, it comes down to motive. Why do they need help, or why do we want to help them?
Yeah, and I agree with that. And I think we don't wait until our kid is 33 or 43, and we start when they're three. And we try to hold them accountable, let them learn how to manage their lives and their toys and little things along the way to become more and more responsible. So by the time they leave home, they know we're there for them, we'll help them, but they also learn that they have to be responsible to make decisions for themselves, which is critical. And so the top of the list here is motivation. I agree with you. Is this something you and your spouse have worked through yourselves, Dave?
My wife and I have been married 38 years.
Good.
And I get kicked under the table every time I've said we've been happily married 37 years, but that's besides it.
Hey, listen, you're doing better than a lot. I had one this week would say something like that, 40 years and been married happily like 30 or something. So, all right. Well, appreciate your call, Dave. I'm glad you're listening in Missouri today. God bless you.
Thanks for your ministry.
Thank you. Glad to do it, man. Let me go to Sandra. She wants to join in here. Sandra, what's your one thing from New Mexico?
Hello.
Hi.
Our daughter... Let me stop a speaker. I'm so sorry. Our daughter was living with us, of course, until she was about 20, 21.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was just very irresponsible with her bills. You know, of course, she would go out with her friends and go and eat, constantly out to eat at fine restaurants. But then she started getting collection bills, and my husband had co-signed for a car for her, and then we got a notice that there wasn't any insurance. She had just gone to Las Vegas and thought that she paid her insurance. So
you were on the hook.
So through the years, you know, we've helped her. We've bailed her out. We sat her down. Our other daughter sat her down, went through all her bills, and did a budget with her. But she got, you know, a few of them paid off. But then it fell back to the old ways.
So what have you done?
Unfortunately.
So what have you done?
I'm sorry?
I mean, what have you done to address this? Or is it still going on like this?
Well, she's no longer with us. She got married. Unfortunately, they were going to buy it, and her credit was crummy.
Mm-hmm.
So he ended up buying the house by himself, and now she had a baby just about a month ago, and now she's thinking backwards that she doesn't want to go back to work because they can't afford the daycare. But we're just letting her make decisions, and if she falls, I guess she falls, you know.
And that's going to be hard for you, though. That's going to be hard for you, isn't it, Sandra? That's going to be hard. Yeah, because you're a mom. And I think that's the only people calling in today are going to be the people who love their kids or love their family, and they're just concerned about how to do this. So this is a practical question. And I think as you look back, Sandra, you probably realize maybe we bailed her out too much. We stepped in too soon. But there's a point where all of us have to grow up. And we'll do it now. Listen, we're either going to grow up after mom and dad are gone someday and the gravy train ends, or we're going to decide to grow up now and deal with it. It's a decision we have to make for all of us. Okay, thank you, Sandra. Appreciate it. How do you handle relatives? It could be a child, adult child. It could be a parent, sibling. They have needs. You don't agree, maybe, in your marriage. You're not on the same page about how to do this. The Bible commands that we're to help our family. How do you do that? What's one thing to add to the list today? Cindy's next in Arizona. Welcome, Cindy.
Hi.
I appreciate your call. What's your one thing for the list?
My one thing is you just have to step out on the skinny branches of faith and trust God to provide. And we have found ourselves in that situation with my parents. They got to a point where they couldn't afford their mortgage anymore. They lost a bunch, you know, their savings in the market crash. And so we, my husband and I, decided to take over their mortgage payments, and so that they can stay in their home and keep their independence as long as possible. And God has provided. And when we first started, we didn't know if he was, how long we could do this, and we still don't. But each month, we just live by faith.
Now, what is your, can I ask from the standpoint of you and your husband, when you look at your, these are your parents, right, Cindy?
Yes.
Okay, when you look at your parents, does this create any resentment? Like, why didn't they plan better, or they, why didn't they prepare better, or what are they not doing now? Does it create anything in your marriage that's a tension point?
You know, the it came up at the beginning. You think about it, you know, and we understand how everything unfolded for them, and it wasn't anything that they meant to do, and they've always been pretty good stewards of their money, and it weren't frivolous. It just happened. They've lost their savings for their retirement in the market.
Would you have felt differently if they had been real, if they had been really irresponsible all throughout their lives?
Yes, probably.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would like to believe that we would still help them, but they raised us to be responsible, or raised me to be responsible. Yeah.
Well, you certainly are doing that. And, God love you. I mean, you know, this is how families operate. And I know many people listening today, you're stepping in and helping family members. And boy, when people are in need, that's when we step up. Intentional living is all about looking at a need, helping fill a need. My dad always taught me that. He said, Randy, look at a need, fill a need. I think what makes it difficult being intentional and frankly following through with our Christian charity is with family members who you help them, and then it returns into the same cycle of irresponsibility. And that becomes a problematic part of the relationship. And frankly, can be enabling of a person to continue to be trapped in the wrong spot. In Cindy's case, here's parents didn't expect this to happen. Boom. For whatever reasons, they lost what they had intended to have to help them during this stage, and family stepping up. Cindy, God bless you. Quick break. We'll be back. What's your thought on this? What one thing, when you and your spouse don't agree, maybe on how much or if even, to support a family member in need, short-term or long-term, responsible or otherwise? 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dr. Randy Carlson, inviting you to get away to get close to God's creation. Book your cabin now for the 2020 Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska. Breathtaking destinations and beautiful scenery await you on this unforgettable travel experience. Enjoy spiritual renewal and build lifelong memories. Join my wife Donna and me for the 2020 Intentional Living Cruise to Alaska. To book your cabin, go to theintentionallife.com. Are there emotions that we can express and have in our life that don't turn into sin? The emotions are there for a reason. It's one of the things that Paul is telling us. Emotions are there to encourage us in our lives. But he's also making a very important point about emotions. Emotions are dangerous. Emotions have done more to destroy families and relationships and health and success than almost anything we can do in our lives.
Emotions are either your friend or your enemy. This month, a focus on emotions, managing your emotions. That's an excerpt from the teaching going out to our member team. If you're a monthly supporter and you're on the list, you know it's coming. Just wait for it. Thank you for your support. We are making this teaching, a powerful teaching, available to everyone this month as you support the ministry and ask for it. We'll get it to you in CD. Just go to theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com, and we'd love to get it into your hands. This is really an interesting topic, and we face this a lot over the years. I've counseled with people, and this issue is pretty prevalent in terms of family relationships. How much do you help, financially or otherwise, family members who are struggling? And I've always said very clearly that if it's short-term and it has a goal and the outcome is going to be motivational for the child or the family member, is going to help them, man, we should be jumping in and doing everything we possibly can. That's what family's for, part of why families exist. At the same time, remember, money is not going to solve everybody's problem. If the goal is to help them become more responsible, you got to ask the question, where does money fit into that and how does it fit into that? And that's where it gets to be a little difficult for families. But if you don't agree with your spouse, wow, that's another issue. And that's what we're focusing on today. When you don't agree, what one thing do you do when you don't agree? 888-888-1717. Yesterday, by the way, I asked the question, because we were talking about money yesterday as well with adult children and how we can waste money. And I was asking someone who would let me know about compounding interest with a $5 bill every day going into an investment at 5% for 40 years. So you take a 25-year-old young person, and if you were to take that coffee that you go and buy for $5 every day and instead take that $5 and invest it for the next 40 years every day, 40 years, 5%, 40 years till you're 65, how much do you think you'd have with interest? Well, Tim... We got Tim. He's one of these head guys like me. He's done the math, right? Tim sent me a message on Facebook. He said, "Here it is, Randy, $76,650. That's what it is, 40 years from now. Without, he says, without counting leap years, which would add an additional $52.50, which brings us to a grand total of $76,702.50. Parents, write it down and hand it to your 25-year-old. Son, daughter, listen, here's the math. $5 a day, 5% interest. When you're 65, it'll be $76,702.50. Pretty amazing. When to help, when not to help. We're adding to the list here today. Let's go to Ted in New Mexico. Ted, welcome to the program.
Thank you, sir, for calling me.
Appreciate it. What's your one thing to add to the list today?
My one thing is to be of equal yoke, brother. When the husband and wife are of equal yoke, everything works so much better when you're trying to help your children and your family.
Well, I agree, but what do you do if you're not?
If you're not, it's going to be really, really hard. I mean, almost impossible. Because I can imagine if we weren't thinking the way we think together, the way everything comes together, we wouldn't make it. It would be a big, big stress on our family. I have 6 children of my own. My wife has 5. And sometimes it is a struggle, but God always provides.
So you're blending. You've blended a what? 11? Did I get the math right?
Yes, uh-huh.
11
yes.
Kids. So you know big time about this being equally yoked on the same page thing.
Yes.
How long you been married, Ted?
We've been married 20 years.
You think you could have been married 20 years if you weren't on the same page?
No. No, especially with today's society, no.
Yeah, it's impossible.
There's so many things in life now that come to destroying the marriages. It's really, really hard. You really have to struggle and keep above the water and just be constant. You have to be constant.
You know,
because we and her come together, we pray together, we talk together, we always prepare for the next time that we're going to ask for help.
Yeah, you got to do that. And I'll tell you, I think, Ted, you're reminding us, listen, you guys use whatever you're experiencing in this financial thing with family members as sort of a diagnostic tool to what's going on in your marriage. If you find you have a lot of conflict, say, hey, we don't have a financial problem. We got a marriage issue. We got to decide to get on the same page.
Oh,
great advice. Okay, Kathy, are you there, Kathy? Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Kathy. Hi there. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm just multitasking.
I hear that. That's smart. So you're why I got you on hold. You're doing business and dealing with stuff.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, you're on the air now. What's your one thing for this today, Kathy?
Well, my one thing is my husband and I are on the same page for one thing, but we're both Christians, but we enabled his brother for a long time. He lived with us for 9 years, and then he got married to this lady, and then we just gave, and then we just got sick of giving because they didn't appreciate it. And then they kind of pulled away, and they don't talk to us anymore. So, yeah, it was kind of one-sided.
So really what you're saying is it was as long as it's you're giving, they're happy with you.
Yeah, and then...
Yeah. So what would you do different now?
Everything was our fault. And they were just doing bad things like drugs and stuff. So we just... You know, we had to stop. We had to quit being a doormat.
So if you went back and did it again, you probably wouldn't have done it in the first place.
Well, probably not. But, you know, it's hard to say. But,
yeah.
You know, we always have a heart for him.
Yeah, and that's sometimes the issue, isn't it? We have a heart. Let me just wrap this up. We're out of time. I got 30-second notice here. I think you have to get back to this issue brings us back to the biblical basis of we're commanded to help our family, but it doesn't say how. But we're to help our family. I think if we start with the premise we want to help our family member because we love them, we want the best for them, then we're going to talk about what our values are. If our value is we want to raise a responsible adult, we want people to be as independent as they can, we want to help those who need help and can't get help to get the help they need. If we know what our values are, then it's easier to sit down and put together the functionality of a decision of should we and how much and should there be an agreement. And I think those things are important. Have understanding of where people are going. Don't just start giving checks to people without getting an idea of what's their goal, where is it headed, and what's the long-term measurement of this. That's 3 months from now. Where are you going to be if I help you now? Yesterday, someone said, hey, see the budget. Have them give you a budget to show you what's going to happen and hold them accountable. Lots of good ideas. By the way, if you missed yesterday's show, you might want to go ahead and listen to it because it'll add value to what we talked about today. If you want to join the discussion, you're welcome to post on Facebook. Again, Facebook / Intentional Living, or you can leave a comment here at 888-888-1717. Check out the helpful resources on our website. I'm Randy Carlson. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living. Have a great day.